Nice to see you dressed up for the occasion today.
Says your man in his dressing gown. You're so hard on me. I didn't get a chance. I've been cleaning all morning.
Just, it's a good job this is an audio only podcast.
Well, actually. Oh yeah. So do you know the other day in the, when we, where were we going? We're going into town.
Yeah.
And you said that I looked really pretty, but then you proceeded to, like, as you always do. I don't know. I'm actually really confused. Do you know what? I actually secretly recorded that conversation because I wanted to play it back.
I don't know if this is healthy or normal in a relationship. This is the sort of stuff. Usually, when you hear a wife say, "I secretly recorded the conversation," it's because the husband's been abusive.
No, you're so dramatic.
But like, when would you ever hear an incident where it's like, "Oh, you speak so sweetly to me, so I secretly record you so I can."
No, it wasn't done in that context. I recorded you because you were digging a hole. And I wanted to show it back to you. So basically, do you know what? Let's just play the clip. No, go on, say it. It's nice to know.
There's no way I'm saying it. That was the end of the sentence.
You can't say, "Oh, you look really pretty. It's nice to know." And then go, "Actually, I'm not going to finish that sentence," and then not say it. It's nice to know what?
Okay, now this is meant in the just nicest possible way. It's nice to know that, like, you still have it in you to look well. That's not to say you don't look well, like the other days, where, like...
What do you mean by that, like?
But, like, you know, like, we don't get an opportunity to, like, do ourselves up or, like, put makeup on and all that much anymore. So it's nice to know that you can just turn it on and be a little smoke show again.
I'm not every other day. In other words, you're saying I've just made an effort. And I don't any other day.
It's not that you don't... No, it's just that...
But sure, I had to get ready for work and all. I had to be dressed for work.
And you look great.
Well, obviously not.
You do.
Obviously not.
You do.
You just said it's nice to know that you can...
Well, you can take it up a notch.
I don't know how I feel about this conversation.
You look great. That's how you should feel about it.
Then why did you continue on? You know, you have a big dark hair just waving at me in the centre of your head there. Between your eyebrows.
Oh, look at that. How does that even...
Pluck that. How did you not notice that in the mirror?
Too busy taking the rest in.
Oh, for fuck's sake. How do you feel listening to yourself?
I'm actually glad you recorded that.
Oh God, how can you make this about yourself?
No, because notice what happened by the end of it.
What?
In the middle of me complimenting you, saying how well you look, you pointed out that I have a single hair
really
between my eyebrows.
Compliment loosely.
Giving me a monobrow.
Yeah, it was massive. Did you pluck it? Give us a look.
No, it's still there.
It's waving at me from across the room.
You're so... This is what I'm talking about.
I was doing this so I could prove to you, and you've literally role reversed and put it back on me. Yeah. How?
Because I'm using your own evidence against you. Here's how I interpret that interaction to be, right? Me saying, "You look really well tonight."
That's not what happened. You
basically going, "You have a fucking monobrow."
No.
How would you let that thing grow between your eyebrows? Like, you're so hard on me.
It's like the time when I saw all the hairs of your nose.
You asked me
how could you breathe?
Yeah, do I ever struggle to breathe through my nose? Because there's so many hairs up my nose. And this would be, listen, just to give you an idea of this, we'll be in the middle of a conversation and I'll notice she's zoned out. And then whatever I'm saying, she'll just say something like that.
Anyway, no, I'm not having this. We're talking about how you spoke to me.
I complimented you. I said you look great.
Well, like, the compliment was loose, Killian, like.
See, it's nice to know that, you know, when you put a bit of effort in, you can still look great.
Yeah, but it's the word, like, you're lucky it's me you're talking to. Anybody else would be fine with you for a week.
But, like...
I think I know what you were trying to say.
Which is?
You were trying to say that, like, when, like, we're going out to something, that I can, like, still look the same as I did before. Where every day I'm just, like, probably leggings and a t-shirt running around the house. Well, is that what you meant?
Yeah.
You're afraid to say anything now. I'm
afraid to say anything now. No, just it's nice to know that it is still in. If you need to pull it out, boom, you can still be a little smoke show. Just, you don't pull it out every day.
Well, like, neither do you.
Excuse me?
It's your mono, bro.
You're going to give me an awful complex.
Well, just pluck it out and then you won't have the complex.
No, but it comes back. I will pluck it out. I will pluck it out.
That's how hair works, Killian. I know. It grows.
You're so harsh on me.
Oh.
It's so hard.
Don't even go there, buddy.
It is so hard.
Anyway, we didn't even say welcome to this week's episode in the New Parents Podcast.
We're still together.
We're off to a flying start, as you can see.
Yeah, secret recording. That's going to be a new theme to the episode. Actually, there was an episode of The Black Mirror where they could do that. They could replay an interaction. So if you and your partner are saying something, it's like, I said this. Oh, you didn't. Yeah, you did. No, you didn't. In this episode of Black Mirror, you could actually play back the scene.
I would like that, because there's so many times where you say, I told you that, and I'd be like, you actually didn't. And you're convinced that you did, but you didn't. You had the conversation in your head.
No.
There's times you accuse me of that.
I wish.
But I know for a fact that I did tell you.
So.
Because on the daily, I have to repeat myself 50 million times. Daily.
That doesn't count if you think you've said it out loud, but you've actually, the first time you say it is in your head.
Killian, we've had conversations. Sometimes we've had actual conversations that you give to the conversation. And then the next day I'd say, here, we're doing this. And you're like, wait, what are we doing? And I'm like, we literally had this conversation yesterday. And it was a two-way conversation. I didn't imagine that.
Sometimes, okay, I will concede sometimes that happens. But oftentimes it's the other situation.
No, it isn't.
Do you not think?
No, I don't. Anyway. That would be a good trait.
Do you want to know an example of how harsh you are on me? Because it's affecting our child. What did Alex do to you the other day?
Oh my God.
What did Alex do to you? I'm just saying, this is perfect, perfect case in point. What did Alex do to you the other day?
Basically, I used to always, when Killian used to yawn with his mouth open. You shouldn't yawn with your mouth open. It's teaching you a lesson. Basically, he used to yawn with his mouth open.
Nice.
You're supposed to put your hand up to your mouth.
But you know how, like, so this will be, bearing in mind, not when we're like, when we're at a wedding or at the altar or anything of the sort. We'd be sitting at home watching TV, just the two of us, me and my partner.
How ironic that I yawned.
And let it be known, there was no hand to your mouth there.
Anyway.
I used to love a yawn because it was free. You could just trust the environment that you could yawn, and then Deb started ruining my yawns, just poking her little finger in my mouth.
Yeah, so I used to stick my finger in his mouth so that he'd put his hand to his mouth when he yawned.
Don't know how shit it is to have a yawn ruined mid-yawn.
So then he used to have PTSD. He used to then like go to yawn and then like check yourself because you're afraid I was going to stick.
Yeah, my yawns would turn into that thing, you know, where like you try and keep your mouth closed where it's like you're suppressing the yawn in someone's company. You're like... For a long time, I never had a good yawn.
So the other day, Alex came into the bed when he woke up and I yawned and he stuck his finger in my mouth.
And I'm so glad
came
he did.
Full circle.
Yeah. How did it feel?
It's grand. It's my tiny little finger. He's cute when he does it. I thought it was cute. He just saw this big round object, stuck his finger in it.
One thing I do love watching you with Alex is your ability to... Did you ever hear the Mandela effect?
No.
It's this term used to describe how you are convinced you remember something a certain way and then you're shown, oh, actually, it's different. It's like there's all these examples of like the Slovenian family or like all these different things. But it's born out of the fact that people think Nelson Mandela died in prison. Anyway, so there's a whole thing. Probably Jenny on the Red Room podcast would do far more justice explaining this than I'm going to do it. But it's basically just that you misremember what is actual fact. And you and nursery rhymes. I don't know if you misremember the lyrics or you just kind of freestyle it.
I just freestyle.
But by their very nature, they're meant to rhyme. Yeah. Yours are more story based than rhyme.
Do you know what happens? Is that I start them and then I'm through it and I lose the tone and then I kind of forget what the next word is. So then I just go with whatever comes into my head.
Do you know what's better than you trying to explain it? Mm. I recorded her in the car the other day, folks.
And it's cheeky you telling me.
I just figure if I didn't have a recording of this and I was to pull you up on the pod, you'd probably go, no, I do remember. Whereas this way I get to actually show you the freestyle that is Debbie McQuillan.
I'm O'Sullivan.
Oh yeah, you're married.
Burn. Incy wincy spider climbing up the spout. Along came the rain and washed poor Incy out. Up came the sunshine and dried Incy out. So he went climbing back up the spout. Is that funny?
First half starts fine.
Alex laughed.
He laughed because he's like, my mom can't even get.
I know, it's meant to be the sun comes out and dries up all the rain. Yeah, and like, I said dry, I didn't see it. Okay.
So, like, it's just this bit. How do you go off the beaten track?
Up came the sunshine.
You can hear it.
And dried Incy out.
You're lost now. You're like, where am I going to go?
He went climbing back up the spout.
There, saved the day.
You think that was saving the day?
He laughed, didn't he?
He laughed because he can't believe he couldn't even get a simple nursery rhyme.
What
right.
is it then?
Incy Bincy Spider.
Bincy.
Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed up the water spout.
Along came the rain and washed poor Incy out.
Out came the sun and dried up all the rain so that Incy Bitsy Spider could climb up the spout again.
Well, first of all, it's Incy Wincy, not Itsy Bitsy.
Okay.
And say the last bit again.
Out came the sun and dried up all the rain so that Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Incy Wincy Spider
could climb up the spout again.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to try and get, because there's more. You do this with like, they'd be like, twinkle, twinkle. And you're thinking, in my head, I'm like, well, she can't get this wrong. And lo and behold, it'll be like everything. The melody will change. It's like a remix.
It's like you're rapping, is it? Go on, give us another rap. No. Go on. I think we should do a rap a week. Go on, give us one.
Oh, God, no.
Do the one you remember you wrote one down. We said on the podcast last week, you wrote one down and then you freestyled. You should have stuck to the one you wrote. Go on, pull it up there.
No, that's embarrassing. There's already been enough embarrassment for me on this podcast.
Wow.
Well, yeah, you're pulling out stories embarrassing me left, right and centre.
That's not how that sounded. See what I mean?
So how was that perceived?
That sounded like I embarrass you.
Chicken, that's something you brought to that.
No, that's literally like what? I want to rewind and pull out what you just said.
Do you want to stop the recording, play it back and then we'll see. No, that's embarrassing. There's already been enough embarrassment for me on this podcast.
That literally sounded like I'm an embarrassment. Not that I embarrass you. Do you know one of my favourite things to do is... So if Alex wakes during the night and if you go into him is to watch on the monitor. Not because in your brain you're probably going because like I'm checking to make sure you're doing it right. I'm not. It's actually just to see the conundrum that is. You figure it out.
So my eyes aren't great.
So basically,
in darkness,
Killy can't see anything. Like his eyes don't adjust. You know the way like your eyes can adjust to a certain level of darkness that you can still see certain things. Killian's eyes don't do that. So you go into the, bearing in mind there's a nightlight on the room, so there is light in the room. But you go into the room. So the other night I looked in on the monitor and you'd lifted him out, but you're obviously, I think he was crying. You're trying to find a soother in the cot and you're like, all I can see is the hand going around the cot trying to find it. Then you couldn't find it. And then next across the screen, I see a hanger. Like, what was the thought process behind getting a hanger to find this?
Okay, so I've like the child in one arm, right? I'm looking into the cot. He's got his bed sheets, which are like a road and cars and all that sort of stuff. So it's all patterns. So I can't see the soother. He didn't have his glow in the dark one on. So I couldn't see the soother. So my hand is going in and my hand is like doing back and forth. Can't find anything. So I was like, all right, I need to up the operation here. So I got a hanger. So I was like,
What did you think the hanger was going to do?
It was going to like cover more ground and scoop it over to the one area. And then I'd only have a smaller. So everything that was going to be socks, all the different bits in the bed were going to be scooped over to one smaller area. And it
worked. All the bits in the bed. There's like nothing in the bed.
I know, but if there was anything in the bed, it would be like, the hanger would scoop it all over to one spot. And then you have a smaller search area with your free hand.
I can't remember. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm telling you, the hanger method works.
Too funny.
But I am aware of the fact that when I go into tend to him, that like, you don't get any benefit from...
No, I'm awake anyway.
When I tend to the baby in the middle of the night.
Babe, he's been sleeping great the last couple of nights and I still wake up at 5 a.m.
That's shit for you. It's all, like, I don't know what
that was
to
like
say.
Perfect timing. It was like the violin came in there. It was the church bells.
You do, even like when, you know... Like you're going to be shortly going to be spending a little night away and you will, I've no doubt, still wake up.
Yeah, probably.
During the night.
And I'm going to have a few drinks, so hopefully that'll knock me out.
Oh, God. Well, unless.
No, Killian, we're not bringing up last week's episode. Oh, my God.
Well, I just say sometimes I feel like, you know, drunk Debbie gets it.
So I'm moving it along. You had been away working.
How did you feel with that? So I was away. Work-wise for me, it's kind of ramping back up to sort of...
Away,
you know,
a lot.
Pre-COVID, pre-baby, pre-everything, which is more international work.
Mm-hmm.
which I always adored. And we would have always tried to book in, like if it was a 2-day shoot, we'd always try and book in at least a day before and maybe a day or two after the shoot, just to like hang a little bit or just to adjust or whatever, you know. Whereas it's not like that now. Now, myself and my producer, we're very much, he has a kid as well. So it's like, right, over, back, like you're doing this as quickly as you can. But that being said, I was away for quite a bit in the last while. Mm. How did you find that?
Well, normally it's fine, but this time it was difficult because I was working at a trade show all weekend. So, and then my mom was away as well. So it was like...
We didn't have any support.
So that was hard. But we pulled in our friends and stuff. The hard part is the evening routine with Alex, because that's still kind of a bit, he requires one of us to put him down. So we still haven't got to a place yet where let's go to bed and he just goes up and goes to sleep. So once your work kind of dies down for travel in, let's say, June. So I think we're going to spend the summer then trying to get him into that routine that he'll just go to bed. Because at the moment, bedtime is like he hates it.
Yeah, well, like like last night it was 10 o'clock he went to bed.
Yeah, well, like when we went for a walk and stuff, like sometimes we do it to convenience ourselves. So like we went for a long walk last night and stuff, so that was,
so yeah. But just in general, apart from the fact that you had the trade show on, like when I'm not around, do you notice much of a difference?
I guess organization wise, like we get out quicker in the mornings, we like, you know, all that sort of stuff runs a little bit smoother because there's not like two people trying to get ready for work and get him ready, do you know, that type of way. So
sorry, you get out quicker and it's easier without me is what you're saying?
No, it is hard because then I'm working all day, then I have to, like, you're trying to juggle getting him to childcare at the appropriate time that still gets me into work at an appropriate time, and then I have to leave at a certain time to be able to get back to collect them. So, yeah, you know, that side of it is tougher because I work further away where you worked closer by. So that juggle is hard, as they say, the struggle is a juggler, the juggle is a struggle, I think is the word. But yeah, that is hard. And then obviously this time it was a trade show, so I was working a bit longer and I was working Saturday and Sunday, which I normally wouldn't do. So we do notice it when you're gone. It is exhausting because there's no switch off, where sometimes, you know, I come in from work and you might put him down to bed. So then I get like half an hour, 40 minutes just to like my brain to not engage in anything, like.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. But like, yeah, when you're doing it by yourself for a couple of days straight, there's no respite, you know.
It is. It's just the life of a single parent is full on.
Like, I don't know how. Like, I have such admiration for anybody that's single parents. Like, it's just like, I don't know. They just never, like, we're two people that are doing it. And I still feel like we don't get enough, like, individual time or couple time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then imagine, like, doing it on your own 24/7 all the time. You must, like... Jesus, it must be exhausting.
And even the thought of, like, because as you said, we struggle to find time just for you and me to be you and me again. So if you're a single parent and you're trying to find time to find a new partner.
Yeah, to meet somebody, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, nearly impossible.
Did it make you think, you know, how lucky you are to, to be...
Oh, like I'd get on with it.
You reckon you
would? That's how single parents do it, because women are so capable of just bloody getting on with it.
And you don't think men are?
No. I think you've proven that in this podcast that you're not able to, Killian.
Yeah, it is tough. It is tough.
We spoke about that recently, about the, we had a good old friend conversation.
Yeah.
About that, about just like, you were still probably in that process of going like, I can't believe this is my life. Is it ever going to go back to normal? And then, because I've had the conversation with myself on numerous occasions, that I just said to you, this is it. This is our new life. You either get on or get off. And that's just it. This is it. We move forward this way.
Yeah.
And you let go and you create a new exciting life in this life and in this function of life, and you move forward. And we had to have that friend conversation.
And it was a conversation I needed to hear. Yeah. It was definitely a conversation that you needed to have with me, to kind of slap a little bit of sense into me. But like, more so just to slap a bit of perspective into me, really.
Yeah, but like, it's not, like, that's not, I think everyone goes, like, I was doing that internally. Like, I was going through that internally, just being like, oh my God, like, is it ever going to go back to normal? And then one day I was just like, this is the new normal. Like, this is it. So embrace it, get on board, and it'll be easier if you just accept it.
Yeah.
Do you know that type of way? So that's what I did. So then we had that conversation of you just accepting that this is where it is. Because I feel like then if you're so busy, like, missing your past, then you're not embracing the now moment. Like, do you know?
And there's definitely, it was definitely for me a case of the narrative you tell yourself becomes your reality, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So if you're telling yourself that you're not particularly happy, or that you'd rather it be another way, or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be, you're not giving your heart an opportunity to embrace what you do have and what is there mm-hmm. and what can be there, because you're too fixated on this other thing.
Yeah.
Because happiness is all based off your perspective and how you view the world. Like, there's this, I was watching this documentary and this fellow was telling a story about this guitar player who was in Metallica. And he was in Metallica before they went to record their first album. And it wasn't a right fit for the band. And literally, as they were about to start recording their first album, which was going to set Metallica off, you know, mm-hmm. on the trajectory that they went, they woke this guy up one morning with a bus ticket and said, "You're out of the band. You're out of here." They sent him on a bus back to California, wherever. And that whole bus journey, 6 hours long, whatever it was, he spent the whole time just started festering and hating everything. But by the time he got to California or wherever he was going, he's gone, "I'm going to start a new band. I'm going to do this." So he started a new band, and that band went on to sell millions of records. He toured the world, huge successes. Success in anyone else's mindset, it would have been the pinnacle. You've totally succeeded. You're playing all over the world. Mm. You're playing sold out shows. You're selling millions of records. But the band he was kicked out of was Metallica, who was selling more records okay. and touring bigger stadiums and playing more shows. So he could never, ever fully embrace the level of success he had, because he was comparing it the whole time to what it could have been with Metallica, mm-hmm. as opposed to anyone else would have been happy with the shoes he was in, but he could only focus on the shoes he could have been in.
Yeah.
And in that, missed out all this joy and happiness that he should have been reveling in. And it's just about that, about people, and social media has a huge part to play in this now as well, that people are living in this compare culture where they're comparing their actual mm-hmm. life with people's best bits. And it's creating this kind of distance from reality. And then the further you are from the reality is the further you're going to be able to be from attaining any sort of happiness within yeah. that, because happiness isn't something you just get to and then exist at. It's, you work towards it. And it was
the whole, it's a momentum thing. It's in the moment. It's like to be present in the moment. Like,
and I know this is like, I sound like something from Pinterest right now, but happiness isn't the destination. Happiness needs to be the journey.
And comparison is the thief of joy.
Look at this. What are we like? This podcast has taken a turn, hasn't it? Are we going to be mindfulness and self-help now? Well, considering we're you know, 10 a penny with the parenting podcasts now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we've spoken about that, have
we? No, we haven't. Too funny as well. Just like, it's like buses. It's like a bus, literally.
It's like when you say, "I might buy a red car," and then all you see is red cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I feel like now. It's like, we did a season. Now, bear in mind, we were missing for a year. So, like, there was plenty of opportunity for someone else to come along. But now I just feel like when we were ready to go with our podcast, it was like that week, so many people released like a podcast around parenting. Like, well, it was, that's what it was geared and aimed at.
But even like we did a photo shoot with Evan, for some of the shots around, yeah. you'll see them on the social media, the ones we're using. And we had that shot. We were in planning for season two for a while because we were in talks with sponsors and all that sort of stuff. So there was a delay in kind of getting season two up and running. And then we look and there's like all the press shots for the podcast are all exact same concept.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but like, we didn't see theirs. They couldn't have seen ours.
So it was just obviously everyone had the same
sort of idea. Yeah. They were all working off the same Pinterest mood board by the looks of it. But yeah, too funny that it's literally just the same. But look, do you know what? It's just
There's room for everybody.
Absolutely, there is. Absolutely,
everyone
there is.
Has a different perspective and a different opinion and a different. They're in a different position in life, so you'll get something from everything.
I would love to see what their figures are like, because I can't imagine that they do better than we do in Bangladesh, Kuala Lumpur,
like Australia, America. Yeah. We must have a look at our stats, actually. You haven't looked at them
in a while.
Yeah,
it is mad when you see the international listens come in. You're like, how does somebody even hear us in Argentina?
Yeah, it's mad. Yeah, it's
crazy. It's kinda cool. Should we make this should we be more bilingual?
Go for it.
Well, where do you want to?
So if I throw out a region, will you do the accent? Yeah,
so people probably don't know this. I can speak almost every language. I learned Latin.
Anyone that's ever seen the Catherine Tate episode where she comes in as an interpreter, watch this space.
What are you saying?
Speak German.
Sie heißen Sie Peisenbrook. Sie blinga.
Don't even know if you're speaking German or not, because I don't know. Yeah, okay, good. Fluent. Speak French.
Oh, well, is there a problem? Oh, that's English. That's English. Just with the French accent. So I was in France recently on work, and I was so good at speaking French that the lady in the boulangerie thought I could speak far more French than I could.
The boulangerie, for anyone who doesn't know, is the bakery.
It's where you get your pastries in the morning. But I was ordering like my du croissant, du pain grisant, given it, I was leaning
into
it.
I'm sorry. Is that what you said? And they thought you were French.
And then she's gathering all her pastries, and then she obviously is like, you know, is that all or something that you more want? I don't know what she said, because she basically just was like, and I'm just looking at her and I'm like, oh. And I just leaned into her and I said, chicken, I'll be honest, I've overshot myself here. I don't actually have that good of French. And she just laughed. And then she was just like pointed towards the cash register. I was like, oh yeah, nah, yeah, I'll just pay. But yeah, so no French. I used to have a bit of French when I was younger, growing up.
I find languages hard. That would be something I find hard.
You struggle with English a lot of the time, don't you?
Wow. Yeah,
what?
You're being very brave, Killian. Very, very. I struggle. I think languages is something that, like, you're either able to do it or you can't. Like, you're either, like, there's some people that can speak seven languages because they just, like, take it up. But I think the reason why I find French hard is because there's, like, a past, present, and future tense. Very like English.
Okay, I was going to say, chick, I've got news for you. Because guess
what? No, I know English is the same. But, like,
English is the hardest to learn because you take a word like where in English.
Where.
So you can wear a jumper. Where are you going to wear the jumper to? And what were they wearing the jumper to? God forbid trying to learn that bloody language.
But then try do that in French.
C'est quoi le jumper? Où est le jumper?
Où est le jumper? No.
Here, I'll tell you what. I had an experience in France, and it was the first time I've ever felt like this, and it kind of changed something within me. We were in a bar. And this dude came over and he was American. He was drinking a pint of Guinness. And so we were like, we were in an Irish bar in France. It was the only place that was open. And your man's like, oh, well, you know, I've got a drink from the motherland. I am Irish after all.
That was an American accent for those who don't know. Continue.
Wow. So I said, oh, are you Irish? He goes, I'm of the clan known from County Cork. And I was like, oh, very good. And then he goes, the guy we're here with, he is Irish. He's actually from Cork. And the photographer that was with us is from Cork, Sean. So Sean was like, oh, no way. Where is he? And he was like, hang on a second. Hey, Stephen. And then this guy kind of comes over and joins us. And Sean's like ready to do the whole like, hey, where are you from, Cork boy? And give the whole like, you know, what street, you know, what school do you go to? And your man comes over. All right, lads, you know, I'm from Cork. Yeah, now my family's from Cork. We were born and bred in Cork. You know, Douglas, yeah? And Sean's face is just like fit to slap him like, chicken, you are not. Don't. He's like, yeah, I got the Irish passport. Yeah, I got both passports, but you know what I mean? I'm going to use the Irish passport for getting around Europe and all. And like, you know, I'm so close to reporting him to get that passport taken off. But what he did do was he took on the Irish accent. Like, as in, he went, big out of me leprechaun, you know, tried to do an Irish accent. And it was actually quite offensive. And he was telling a story, but he was driving around Ireland. And he was like, you know, you see, we were pulling into this little town. It was called, like, fucking, I don't know, it was like, you know, hooly labooly labooly, you know. And then his mates were all like, oh, you're very funny, Stephen. And I was like, actually quite offended. And then I thought to myself, I would do the exact same to a French person. And I thought, yeah, maybe I shouldn't. And that being said, I did spend the last 5 minutes just doing bad impressions of accents there. But I don't know if it was just him that annoyed me. Or the fact that I was like, sorry, don't paint us out to be little leprechauns, mate.
But they do anyway, don't they?
Yeah, but usually I rise above it. And I'm like, hey, you think what you want to think. Yeah, this doesn't bother me. But it was in that instant, that was the first time I was actually like, dare I say, I think I'm a bit offended. And it took me aback because I don't get offended.
Yeah.
So I was a bit like, I don't know if this fella's just a wanker or if I'm offended by his racial stereotypes. We were just talking about that, the differences now and how like there's things that a certain generation would say and do. And you and I, Deb, by no stretch of the imagination are woke, right? to the extent that you see some people are online.
Yeah.
We're very relaxed. We would have been liberal in our approach to life, which is just very relaxed and like whatever.
Go with the flow, like, yeah.
Like liberal now means something very different because it's people are going too far left or too far right. They're extreme. We're not extreme anything. We're just like, I think just...
each of their own.
Yeah, you know? So I was never offended over anything. And this is the first time I was just standing there going, I think I'm a little bit offended by this. Maybe it was just him. He was just a bit of an arrogant prick because they were doing a drive, you know, and he's doing a drive on his Ferrari 912 or whatever it's called. And like,
maybe you were jealous that he had a Ferrari. I think we get into the crux of it.
Yeah,
maybe you're a little bit jealous.
No,
because maybe he was a bit of an asshole, but then he had like the Ferrari and all. And
yeah, but you know what I think? He was in the 60s, and I think he would give up his millions and his Ferrari to be my age again.
Maybe.
I think, I wonder, would, if you asked, honestly, a millionaire, a 70-year-old millionaire, multimillionaire, would they give all their money away?
Well, probably because they've got to a point where they've got the millions and they realize that having money doesn't make you, like, you're striving all the time to get to that because you think that that's where you're going to be happy and successful. And then you get to it and realize, actually, that does nothing. Well, obviously, it
does something. Yeah, it does something.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
But like, it doesn't.
Who was it said that quote? It's like, money doesn't buy you happiness, but I'd rather be sad in a Rolls Royce than on the bus.
Yeah, who said that quote?
I don't know, but it's good.
Yeah, it's real good.
I think that's enough from us this week.
Yeah.
What's that sound?
You hitting off this look. Anyway, that's it for this week.
We will talk to you next week.
Have a great week, guys.
Go on with yourselves.
Chat to you then. Bye-bye.